This is City on the Hills podcast. We hope this message becomes a revelation in your heart and will encourage you to live a Christ-centered life. Thanks for checking out our podcast. Here's today's message.
Well, family, let's pray. Jesus, I want to thank you that you love us. I thank you that you are faithful. I thank you that you're revealing yourself to us through your word. And I pray that we will have a glimpse, an encounter with you today as we get into your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow, friends, it's such a privilege for me to be able to do a second session in our series called The Sign. We're looking at it as an acronym, T-H-E, The Sign, the first three miracles, T-H-E, and then S-I-G-N, which literally is we're looking at these seven miracles, and it's all about the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's Jesus revealing himself through these seven signs, and these signs are not just acts that Jesus performed, but they're also messages, they're expressions of a revelation of Jesus Christ. John chapter 20, verse 31, speaking about these seven miracles, speaking about these seven signs, says, "These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God." Especially if you are trying to, if you're witnessing to an unbeliever or someone that's far from God, if you could unpack these seven miracles for them or send them these seven messages, this is going to help them to be able to have an encounter with Jesus, to get to know the living God. It says, these here are the seven miracles that John wrote about to show the Jews of his day that Jesus was the Christ. So these signs are to reveal to the Jews of that day and to the generations to come that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's the one that we can put our hope in. And the first week we looked at, literally last week, we looked at the fact that Jesus Christ turned water into wine at a wedding. In a sense, Jesus revealing, not only saying, "I'm here to intervene and I'm here to do miracles," but more importantly, deeper than that, Jesus is saying, "I'm here as the bridegroom getting ready for my great wedding day." The Bible starts with the wedding, the Bible ends with the wedding, and I'm here to reveal my glory to you. I'm here to show you that I'm going to pay with my own life. I'm going to lay down my own life, and I'm going to provide the wine for my wedding day. It's absolutely powerful how Jesus starts to reveal himself. The second time, the second big sign that we're going to look at in the book of John is this sign found in John chapter 4 from verse 43 onwards, and it's the sign where we see the healing of an official's son. The healing of an official's son. Remember, turning water into wine was T. Healing, H, is the healing of an official's son. So let's go to verse 43 of John chapter 4. It says, "After the 2 days he left for Galilee, now Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country." So Jesus Christ is already speaking about the fact that they're not necessarily honoring him because they got familiar with him. And I'm here to say to you, if you want to encounter Jesus, if you want to have a revelation of Jesus, even in your times with God's word, could you honor him? Could you respect him? Could you esteem him highly? Because the more we esteem him highly, the more we believe that Jesus Christ is the Christ, he is the Son of God, he is the King of Kings, the more we can receive and encounter him. Verse 45 says, "When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him." Now, I want to pause with that phrase. The Galileans welcomed him. So there were those that did not welcome him. They did not honor him. They did not respect him. They did not appreciate him. And because they did not welcome him, they couldn't receive from him. I want to say this, friends, is that if you want to experience Jesus do miracles in your life, if you want to have an encounter with Jesus, you've got to welcome him into your situation. You've got to welcome him into that very scenario that you're facing right now. It says they had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, for they also had been there. So they welcomed him because they had a glimpse of him. They had an understanding of who he was. They had an encounter of this amazing living God. And I want to say this, friends, that miracles in your life will start when you welcome Jesus into your space. And I've been so challenged by Jesus just recently. Marie and I, sometimes we have some disagreements. And in those disagreements, you know who I want to welcome to the table? I want to welcome myself and all my justification and all my self-righteousness to the table. I want to welcome my pride to the table. I want to welcome my track record to the table. I want to tell her, this is what I've been doing. This is how I've been living. I want to welcome myself to the table. And I actually, in a sense, want Jesus to sit on the sideline because I want to win the argument. I want to be right. I don't want to be happy. I want to be right. My dad always used to say to me, Mark, you can either be right or you can be happy. You need to choose. And sometimes it's worth letting go of being right so that you can embrace the joy and the unity that comes in the marriage. In my marriage, especially when we are struggling, Jesus is challenging me to welcome him to the table. Will you welcome Jesus to your marriage? When you're raising your kids and it's difficult with that teenager and it's challenging because they are questioning and they're pushing back at your authority and they're not fully responding to your leading and they can't see that you have their best interest at heart, or when they are going on their own direction, or sometimes when they have the wrong friends, or they're just not willing to yield to God and they don't want to believe in God. Can you and I welcome Jesus into our parenting? Welcome Jesus when you've got to discipline them and it's hard. Could you welcome Jesus into that very space? That's my question. That's my prayer for us today, is that we'd be able to welcome Jesus. On my way to that difficult meeting, I often welcome Jesus into my meeting and into my thoughts and into my words and into my focus. I welcome Jesus into that meeting. I see miracles when Jesus is welcome. I see miracles. I see Jesus reveal himself when he's welcome. When he's not welcome at my dinner table, if he's not welcome at my meeting with my friends, if he's not welcome in my family, I don't see miracles. I want to ask you today, how welcome is Jesus in your life? How welcome is Jesus in your thought life? How welcome is Jesus? And today we're going to see how the word of Jesus and Jesus' presence are synonymous. God's word and God's presence are together, go together. And when we welcome Jesus, we welcome his word. And when we welcome his word, we welcome him. Verse 46 says, once more he visited Cana in Galilee. So he goes to the same place. This is where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick in Capernaum. Here we go. Jesus Christ just turned water into wine in that same space, that same area. So he's going back and they're remembering this every single word. Friends, Jesus Christ, everything Jesus did was calculated. Nothing was by accident. Just like we saw last week, everything points to a greater reality. Everything that happened in this miracle points to a revelation of Jesus. And it's amazing for me that when we forget what Jesus has done, if you forget the water turning to wine, you're going to struggle to believe him for your son to be healed. If you forget what Jesus has done, if you forget the lions and the bears, David, you're going to struggle to face the Goliath of today. If you're going to forget that the Egyptians were annihilated through the Red Sea and that you walked across the Red Sea on dry ground, you're going to struggle, Israelites, to embrace the inheritance and overcome the giants that are in your way. If you forget the way that God has brought you through in the past and provided for you, you're going to struggle to embrace the miracle that he wants to do today in your life. It's amazing that you and I, when we remember what Jesus has done, we can embrace what he wants to do. The official had to embrace this great Jesus. And it's amazing how the writer of John writes this. And he reminds us that Jesus did a great miracle, revealing his glory in that very space. Could I say this, friends, is that when it comes to your business or when it comes to your health, whether it comes to your relationships or even our church, when we look at what God has done, we've got expectation, we've got faith for what God wants to do. I've seen you move. I've seen you move the mountains, and I believe you can do it again. That's the song, and that's what we, the song of our season. I've seen you move mountains. Lord, will you do it again? See, when I forget what God has done, I struggle to believe him for what he wants to do. I struggle to believe for greater things, because I forget how great he is. And when he can turn water to wine, I'm sure he can heal your son. And when we look at a son, we know, we've studied this in our church, we know this very well, that a son often speaks of a promise. We see how Abraham brought Isaac up on the mountain. Abraham had to sacrifice his son. The promise, Isaac was the promise, the promise fulfilled. And Isaac, in a sense, was a picture of all the promises that were linked to Abraham, that were promised to Abraham, was caught up in Isaac. Because through Isaac, God was going to multiply Abraham's descendants, the same as Jesus Christ. All the promises, Jesus Christ is the promised Messiah, and Jesus Christ is our inheritance and our promises. And maybe God's given you promises over your life, and there's promises in this word that God has spoken over you. Maybe you've got some prophetic words over your life. I'm here to say to you, friends, that God is committed to bringing resurrection and to bringing healing and wholeness and restoration to the promises in your life. I remember when we faced the third lockdown this year. See, the first lockdown was scary. At first, it was quite exciting because I thought we're going to be able to position, and after 3 weeks, we'll be done. But when it kept on for about 8 weeks, Ronke and Hein and myself, we three of the elders, three of the pastors at this church, and we are on staff, we are paid, and we sat in a meeting, and I looked at Hein, I looked at Ronke, and I said, guys, Marie and I, we're going to look for work for Marie so that we can maybe have a lower need financially from the local church. And I said, Ronke and Hein, if you guys find any kind of work, part-time income, maybe we need to explore that. Maybe we just need to be able to humble ourselves and say, God, we're willing to get income from somewhere else while we are still shepherding and leading in this local church, because we love the local church and we're not going to let finances stop us. And we were in this lockdown where people were losing jobs and people were being retrenched and businesses were closing and the economies were failing and literally people were not even getting paid. And we thought, man, oh man, we're not going to be able to sustain this. And then God drew us through that. And friends, it was miraculous. I'm still amazed at how God provided for us, that none of us had to find any other income. God provided for us, even miraculously helped Marie and I sell our house so that we can downscale and lower our expenses. God did some miracles in our lives personally. But when the third lockdown hit, I forgot all about that. I forgot how God brought us through 2020. I forgot how God did a miracle. And when I stopped seeing my family, my spiritual family, when I stopped seeing believers in our church and people gathering because we were in a hard lockdown, it was a whole month of no celebrations. And my heart was burdened. I was like, Lord, this just cannot be. And I started thinking, that means people aren't going to come back. And I saw people just getting their faith getting shipwrecked. And I got concerned and I got tense and I got apprehensive about the future. And I even thought, okay, here we go. Now's the time that we're going to lose all sorts of income and substance. But God still provided. And I had to go to God and I had to remind myself that the same Jesus that brought me through 2020 is the same Jesus that's going to bring me through 2021. The same Jesus that provided a buyer for my house in 2020 is the same Jesus that will provide a buyer for my house in 2021. The same Jesus that helped me through the fire when my house burned down is the same Jesus that will help me through the spiritual fire and the emotional fire that I'm facing right now. Could I say this, friends, that this is a sign and it's a wonder. It's a sign Jesus is revealing himself. It's a wonder that you and I would stand in awe and wonder of his greatness and his glory. Verse 47 of John 4 says, and when this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, for he was close to death. Friends, he heard about Jesus. And I've learned this, that Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You and I need to hear. When we hear about Jesus, we hear what he has done. We hear who he is. We hear about his track record. We hear about his heart. We hear about his faithfulness, that even when we are faithless, he remains faithful. We hear about his goodness. We hear about his kindness. We hear about how he would turn water to wine at a wedding, how he would do miraculous things. When we hear what God has done, that's why testimonies are so powerful. We need to tell one another our testimonies. We need to celebrate what God has done. Why? Because as we remember and as we hear it, we believe for greater things. This man heard it. That's why he could trust God for his promise. He could bring his promise, his son, to Jesus. Verse 48 says, unless you people see signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. Now that sounds quite harsh, but you need to understand this, is that Jesus is not just talking about physical signs and wonders. He's actually saying faith comes when you and I encounter this great king. He is the sign and he brings about wonder. And Jesus said, blessed, he says, you can see a sign and believe, but blessed are you when you don't need a sign and you still believe. Blessed are you when you can open your heart and receive from God. Verse 49 says of John 4, it says, the royal official said, sir, come down. Now, I want to pause there. Come down before my child dies, before my promise dies, before I lose all hope and I lose all future. Come down to me. I love this. There's power in humility, friends. There's power when you and I understand that Jesus is King and you and I are not. He's the God and we are not. He is glorious and we humble ourselves. We need Him to come down to our level. We don't need Him to come up to our level. We are not the King of our lives and Jesus is the servant. God is not your genie that you rub and say, I've got a wish for you to fulfill. No, Jesus Christ is the King of glory. He's the Lord Almighty. He's a mighty, awesome God. He is majestic, all-powerful, gracious, powerful, and He comes down to meet us. If you want to experience Jesus, reveal His glory to you, humble yourself before Jesus. This was a great royal official. He had royalty himself, yet he understood that Jesus' royalty was beyond him. Just like the centurion speaks about Jesus and says, I'm a man under authority. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and I'm also in authority because I speak to others and they go. He says, so I see you're a man of authority. See, the centurion understood that Jesus had a superior authority. This royal officer, this royal official, he understands this, that he might be royal, but Jesus has a superior royalty. He might have authority, but Jesus has superior authority. The key to your miracle, the key to your breakthrough is humble yourself before the mighty hand of God and He will lift you up. Humble yourself before your mighty God and He will lift you up. Say, God, I surrender. The best you can do is humble yourself. Say, God, I need you. I can't do this in my own strength. Verse 50 to 52 of John chapter 4. He says, go, Jesus replied, your son will live. The man took Jesus at His word. Can you say, He took Jesus at His word? Say it. He took Jesus at His word and He departed. See, friends, it's not one thing just to say, I'll take you at your word. I also need to act on what I believe. I need to act on what you said. He departed while He was still on His way. So He's going to His son, not dragging Jesus along with Him. He's saying to Jesus, listen, I'm listening to your word. You said your son will live. For us, our promise will live. The promises of God, the future that God's got for us, the destiny that God's got for us will live. The eternity, the eternal promises of God will stay alive. He says here, while he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time that his son got better, they said to him, yesterday at 1 PM, the fever left him. At the exact time that Jesus Christ said, your son will live. At the exact time that Jesus said, go, your son will live. That's the time that the fever broke. Wow. That blows my mind. That Jesus is revealing something here. And I want to get to this today. Jesus is revealing that he's far more powerful than what we realize. He's far more faithful than what we can understand. He's far more kind and gracious than we could ever comprehend. He's revealing his glory right here through this sign. Verse 53 says, then the father realized that it was at the exact time which Jesus had said to him, your son will live. So he and his whole household believed. This was the second sign Jesus performed after coming from Judea to Galilee. The second sign, the first sign, turning water into wine. He declares that he's the bridegroom. The second sign, he heals an official's son saying, actually, I am revealing to you that I'm not limited by time or space. I'm revealing to you that my word is the same as me. I am my word. When I speak it, it's the same as me coming in person. I love this. The first miracle, he's the bridegroom that provides the wine for his own wedding. The second sign, he's saying, I'm not limited. My word is as good as me coming. My word is as good as me coming, and all your promises are yes and amen in me. Let's look at it. The second miracle, Jesus shows that he is God. And he shows that he is good. Because it says in Psalm 145 verse 8, it says, the Lord is gracious and compassionate. He's slow to anger, abounding in rich and steadfast love. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. Even though this official had limited understanding of who Jesus is, even though this generation, Jesus says, you're just looking for signs and wonders, Jesus says, I'll still meet you where you're at. I'll still meet you right there where you're at. I'm gracious and I'm compassionate. I'm slow to anger. I'm abounding in steadfast love. He's showing that he is God. Jesus is revealing that he's God. Second thing that we see is that we don't have to have Jesus here physically in order for Jesus to do miraculous works in our lives. Sometimes people say, but if only Jesus was here in the flesh. Jesus is revealing something about himself, that if he sends his word, it's like him coming himself. He's revealing something, just like he revealed he's the bridegroom. He's revealing that he is the word. He's revealing that he says, even though you don't see him, even though you don't see it, he's working. Even though you don't feel it, he's working. He never stops. He never stops working. Time and space does not limit Jesus. Physical limitations are not on Jesus. Jesus is not limited by time or space. Nothing will stop him from working. He reveals that his word is him. John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Nothing that was made was made, that was made was made without the word. Jesus Christ is the word. John 1 verse 14 says, and this word became flesh and dwelt among us. Friends, could I say this? That you and I need to have a revelation of Jesus Christ being the word. You and I need to have a revelation that when you and I have his word, we have Jesus. You do not separate Jesus from his word. Jesus and his word is one. Everything was created by this word. Hebrews actually says, in the previous dispensation, in the old covenant, God spoke through the prophets, his servants, the prophets. But now, in this reality, in the New Testament, in the reality of Jesus Christ, the King of glory, he speaks to us through his Son. So when you and I engage with Jesus' word, we are engaging with God through Jesus Christ. Jesus is revealing himself to us. Friends, the Bible in the Old Testament says, he sent his word and healed my disease. He sent his word and healed my disease. Friends, the key to receiving from Jesus, the key to understanding this sign, the second sign, is the fact that Jesus Christ is the word made flesh. And so even though you might not have Jesus here in the flesh, you still have Jesus here in his word. You still have Jesus here to say, Lord, I want to thank you that you are, by your stripes, I am healed. Lord, I want to thank you that Jesus Christ, that you restore whatever the enemy means for harm, you turn for good. Lord, that you are faithful and that you are just and that you are holy and that you are true. Lord, that I can come boldly to your throne room of grace and obtain mercy and find grace. This is Jesus ministering to us. Friends, we touched on this. Is Jesus said, he said, whoever would say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, you will see the mountains move, not by Jesus Christ putting out his physical hands and moving the mountain physically. No, he's saying, you shall say to the mountain. I think too many believers are talking about their mountains and they want Jesus to come in the flesh and move their mountains. Instead of doing what Jesus said, by faith, we speak Jesus into existence. That's why I love this song that we've been singing recently. I speak Jesus. I speak Jesus from the mountains. Jesus over everything. Jesus. I speak Jesus into every situation. Will you speak Jesus? Will you declare Jesus into that scenario? Will you declare Jesus over that financial issue that you're facing? Will you declare Jesus into your life? Will you declare Jesus? You know what Jesus did? Jesus comes and finds himself in the midst of a storm. And Jesus doesn't roll up his sleeves and say, let me calm the waves with my hands, because Jesus is powerful, he can do that. But Jesus chooses to set an example because he's revealing himself as the word. And he sets an example. And what does Jesus do? Jesus speaks to the storm. He says, peace, be still. And so now, when you are facing a storm, I don't know if it's a physical one, a financial one,
a relational one, an emotional one, a spiritual storm. I don't know what storm you're facing, and maybe it's demonic attacks, and maybe it's disappointments at work, and maybe it's challenges with yourself, even in your own self. You're saying, God, this is a healing, it's a physical illness, it's a storm in my life. I'm facing a storm of depression. I don't know what storm you're facing. Could you come to Jesus and say, Jesus, may you be your word into my storm. I want to speak Jesus. I want to say that the peace of God that passes all understanding, come and guard my heart. Peace to the storm. Be still. Peace to the storm. That the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, come and rule in my heart. See, Jesus Christ is Emmanuel, God with us. How is he with us? By his Spirit and by his word. By his Spirit and by his word. I believe that Jesus has exalted his word above his name. He says, my name is my reputation. You can never ever defy my name, my reputation. And I put my word even higher than that. Why? Because I am my word. And when you're saying, God, I'm not loved and I'm not worthy and I'm not good enough, then God says, no, my word says you are highly favored, you are loved, you are chosen, and you are mine, says God. I'll never forget you, my children. I've written you on the palm of my hand. And then when you feel like you're not saved anymore and you feel like God could never take you into heaven, then the Bible says, whoever, Romans 10, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, and nothing can snatch you from God's hand. And when you and I face loss and we've lost a loved one that put their faith in Jesus, we can go to 1 Corinthians 15 that says, it says, actually, where, O death, is your sting? Where, O death, is your victory? The sting of death is in sin, but thanks be to God, he gave us victory over sin, victory over death, and now we have eternal life. That's his word into my situation. See, in these last days, Jesus wants to speak into your situation. And at the very moment that he speaks, healing comes. You might take time to recognize the healing. You might take time to see the manifestation. This official, this royal official, went from Jesus, and it was probably the longest day of his life because he was walking away not knowing if his son is healed, not knowing if the breakthrough came, but he trusted Jesus, took him at his word. And I find that often it's in the delay that we abort. It's in the delay after Jesus said it until we see it. That's where we miss it, in that delay. It's in the passageway, like Peter Rasmussen would say. But my encouragement to you would be that you would persevere, that you'd keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter, the author and the finisher of your and my faith. See, this sign teaches us three things. This sign teaches us, firstly, that we have access to Jesus through his word and his spirit. Number two, it teaches us that he is the bridegroom and he's the word of God. And number three, it teaches us that all God's promises in Christ are yes, and we get to say the amen. Let's read the scripture. I'm going to close with 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Watch what happened to this official. Jesus said, your son will live. And then the official departed and he believed Jesus. And he said amen with his life. All these promises that God made are yes in Christ. So if you find yourself in Christ, then Jesus Christ's words are yes in your life. His promises are yes in Christ. And just like this, is like all the promises of God were yes for Abraham and Isaac. Isaac was a shadow, a type, a copy of Jesus, pointing to Jesus. So all our promises by faith are in our great King Jesus. And you know what? We say yes to God. And as you say yes, you come in agreement. You put your hope in his promises. You believe his word. When you believe his word, you see it manifest in your life. May this sign encourage you today that Jesus Christ, as he's spoken his word, it's as good as him coming. And may you and I speak the word of Jesus. May we speak the words of Jesus over every situation in our lives. I don't care how desperate it is, how impossible it is. Jesus is faithful. Can I pray for us? God, I want to thank you that if any person that listened to this message is far from you, that you would draw all of us closer to yourself. Lord, that you would draw all of us into a place where we see that your word and your presence go together.
that when we have your word, we have you. And when we have you, we have your word. And that your spirit breathes upon this word and makes this word alive to us. I pray that we will speak your word, that we will speak Jesus. Jesus from the mountains. Jesus over the storms of our lives. Jesus over our fears. Jesus over every enemy that we face. Jesus in the mighty name of Jesus. And if you are far from God right now, I speak Jesus over your life. Put your faith in Jesus. For us that are close to Jesus, let's worship him. Let's meditate on his word and let's speak his word, because this is the sign. Jesus Christ is the word of God. Bless you abundantly. Enjoy him. Amen.
Thanks for joining us for today's message. Don't forget to check out our website or visit City on a Hill International on Instagram or Facebook for our updates, celebration times, or ways you can get involved. We are also streaming our message on Facebook Live, so make sure you join us or share the post. Thanks again for checking out our podcast. We'll see you soon.